Luke 17, verse 20. I never understood this first part. Now I do. Well, I did understand it, but I got a new light on it. It says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. Now, he answered and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observations. And actually that word is ocular evidence in the Greek. It means ocular evidence, because they were wanting to know, when's the kingdom now? Look at the Pharisee for a minute, where their mind was. Look who they were. They were God's representative, soon not to be God's representative, but they were still God's representative at the time of his coming. They were still his spokesperson, but they were looking for the kingdom to manifest out here. The kingdom's going to manifest out here, but that's not from where it's going to come from. The kingdom's going to come, and Jesus had to correct them because they were looking for a natural kingdom to manifest. And God said, you're looking in the wrong place. Neither shall they say, lo here, lo there. Look at that. Neither shall they say, lo here, lo there. It's not here or there. The kingdom of God is within you. Now that's where it's going to come from. That's also the answer to when it's going to happen. The when is already inside you. The where is inside you. The kingdom of God is here. This is where we're going to have to operate from. We're not accustomed to operating from. I was praying for somebody the other night and during Michael and Jill's meeting, and this person, just really, I could tell they love God, struggling hard, but I just couldn't give them the answer in a 5-minute prayer time, because I know why they're struggling. I know how come they're struggling. I know they don't even have the answers just based on the conversation I was having with a person. I said, Lord, what can I do? Because so many people just give me a word and so I can go out happy. And it's awesome to have a word. And God has a prophetic office for that, because we need that encouragement. But until we understand what to do with that word, you can go and get word after word after word after word. How many of you had a whole lot of words and had not manifested? Because without faith, the Bible says, it is what? Impossible. Have you ever thought about that? Impossible to please him. Say impossible. Without an operation of true faith accessing the kingdom of God, it is absolutely impossible to please him. It's impossible to get him to move on your behalf without faith. You ever thought about that? It's impossible to get him to move on your behalf without true faith. And yet, how many of us actually exercise true faith on a daily basis? Just close your eyes a minute and just think about your life. I want you to be internalizing right now. How much do you actually exercise in a daily time of true faith? Are you really exercising it? Open your eyes now. Listen to this scripture. The just shall live by faith. Say, the just shall live by it. Say, live by it. Faith was not supposed to be a one-time thing. Faith was supposed to be a lifestyle operation from under heaven. And without it, it would be impossible to please God. So we would live in a place that's constantly displeasing him if we're not living a lifestyle of faith. But we're not trained to live by faith. We were trained from day one to live by our soul, to live by our sight, touch, feel. We're trained to live by our sensory mechanism. It's by my senses that I interact in life. I interact with my sensory mechanism. If I can't feel it, if I can't see it, if I can't hear it, and all the evidence I'm looking for is through the sensory evidence. And if I don't get sensory evidence, what happens? If I get negative sensory evidence comes to me, what happens? It gets inside. And all of a sudden things change. Or we're living by our own, oh, I can get it done. Just do it yourself. Now with God, how many of you know that part of you, he's not going to let you manifest his promises with your do it yourself. You can live and even be blessed if you've got a gift. I mean, if you got a gift, you can live and be blessed, but to manifest God's will for your life, let me tell you something. You can write this down. God's will for your life lives in the realm of the impossible. Write this down. God will never ask you to do something you can do on your own. If you feel that God's called you to do something that you can do, he didn't call you to do it. God's will is going to be above you and beyond you, bigger than you. It should floor you when he first tells you. You should say, how can that be? It should floor you. It's going to be above you and beyond you. His will is always going to be above and beyond what you can do. If it was not, you could do it. If you can do it, you don't need him. And that's not the way he works. He don't work like that. God works with you. And he works in accordance to your faith. So he puts you in a position that's going to require you to function and operate and live by faith. Which is totally uncomfortable in the beginning. Because we're not trained that way. We're not trained to operate like that. We like what we can touch. We like to be in control. Immediately when God calls you to do something, it's beyond your control. Now, if you don't know what he's called you to do, you got to get close to him. Because I can tell you right now, God will let you live life the way you want to live it. If you want to live it outside his circle, he'll let you do it. You're not going to have a very good time, but he'll let you do it. When you get close to him is when he begins to share the destiny. He shares the call. He shares his wisdom. And then he teaches you how he does things. Like the children of Israel said, they did not know my ways. They did not exercise faith with what he said. I mean, some of us have been going 20 years and we still really don't know what faith is. And we're supposed to live by it. I was listening to Creflo Dollar, and I'm telling you, that man was on fire the other night. I watched him Thursday night after service. After our service, I turned the TV on. Man, that man, he said, some of you people think because what I got, God just threw it on me. He goes, I grew it. He goes, you don't understand. You grow what you want. He says, you grow it. He goes, you grow it right here in the heart. You go, what's up? He goes, you grow it from the heart. I said, say it again. He said, I grow it. God tells me what he wants to do, and I begin growing in my heart. He goes, it won't come any other way. I said, say it again. He said, the kingdom of God is here. He says, I grow it. Some people, they've been in church 20 years and won't understand a word of what he said. But then they get all upset because that man's blessed, blessed, blessed. He goes, I'm blessed. I'm going to continue to be blessed. You know, he said he was in the ministry for 30 years. He said in his second year, he wrote a book. He goes, I had to give the book away. I said, I've been there. He said, nobody wanted my books. He goes, but this stuff is what made it happen. He goes, I was writing on this stuff 30 years ago. Nobody was listening. I'd give them the book. Put it on the shelf. So they come a name and then people listen to them. Whoever you judge, you will never receive from. Write that down. You'll never know the heart of a man that you judge. You'll never know who they are. You'll just know what somebody else told you about them. You know a whole lot about who people we judge is what we've heard about them. You don't know that person you're judging. Look how many people we've judged as leaders because they're sitting up in front of that camera because somebody else said something. But you don't know who they are. You know, if you become in a relationship with them people, you might like them. If you were friends with them people, you might say, you know, I had it all wrong. Oh, imagine that. You got it wrong. I had it all wrong. You're actually a pretty good guy. A lot of people judge me. I said, Lord, that's just not me. They're just being lied to. I can tell you right now. They'll continue to be lied to. But that's just not me. I hear the stuff. I do. You're not going to go through life carrying something from God. Not everybody's going to like you. That's just a fact. I don't have any preconceived notions that everybody's going to be my best friend. I know they're not. That's okay with me. I'm just going to keep carrying it because I'm happy now. I am a genuinely happy person. As long as this keeps happening and going on right here, I will be happy the rest of my life. I tell you right now, I'm going to keep it and guard it, hold it, because it's good stuff. It's good stuff. If you want something from God, you got to grow it. The kingdom of God is within you. That's why faith works. Faith is not just seeing a situation that comes to you and says, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. That's not faith. Something kind of, I rebuke you. I said in the name. Like you yelling at it's going to make it leave. You ever thought that before? Exercising faith. Well, I got to get up a little louder. Like your octaves are going to cause that stuff to move. Faith is not measured by your octave level. Faith is a origination from the heart. Just because you decide you're going to rebuke the devil, all of a sudden you've been ignoring the kingdom of God. We've been ignoring God, and the enemy comes and we're going to just rebuke him, and everything's just going to, the mountains are going to part and the hills be removed because you decided to say the name. You don't do it like that. Faith is grown in you. Your next level has to be grown in you now. God is an original gardener. That's what he is. God is a planter. That's what he does. He plants. He's in agriculture. He understands. He plants. What did he say? The sower sowed the word. Now, when a farmer goes out and plants seed, he trusts the soil because the soil is doing what it does. Soil is pretty consistent, you know. But God has a little different problem with us because he has inconsistent soil to work with. Because when God comes sowing the word in us, he has to work with our soil, and it's not always there for him. You see what I'm saying? How would you like to go plant somewhere and you don't know what the ground's going to do? A farmer never really questions the ground. He knows what ground does because it's a law. But the problem is our ground is a little bit different. How'd you like to be a sower and you're sowing into billions of people and looking for just one person who's got the right soil? Because it's got to come out of your heart. You want something, you're going to have to grow it. Haven't we figured this out by now? You know what we do? We wait. We've already got it in the waiting. The waiting, most time we're miserably waiting because the life has already been snatched from the heart. The life of the word's been snatched, so we're miserably waiting. You know, that's what most of us do after a while. We just get so tired, we just wait. Go to church and wait. That's what we do. We just wait. Well, one day, I just keep doing what I'm doing. Keep doing what you're doing, you'll get the same result year after year. Amen. Y'all have heard that by now. You should have heard the definition of insanity is to keep doing what you're doing and expect a different result. If you want the future, grow it. You want the future, grow it. See what we want. We're an instantaneous society. I want instantaneous gratification. When I pull up in that fast food, don't make me wait very long. I don't like waiting. Could you imagine 100 years ago if they had a fast food restaurant, what it took them just to get flour? They had to go bake the bread. You're waiting in the McDonald's or the Chick-fil-A line, and you're standing there, oh, don't even make me wait 2 minutes. What is wrong with you people today? How many of you have ever been through that drive-thru and say, why are you making me wait so long? What's going on? I've had to wait 3 minutes. I want it now. We grew up like that. Well, we get like God with that. God, I want the kingdom and I want it now. It's not the way we work here. He said, we work on seed time and harvest. What I need to do is plant something within you. I need you to get in line with my operation. You're going to have to learn to keep it, hold it, live with it, meditate upon it. You got to learn to get into the heart. That's the biggest problem because the enemy is constantly trying to pull you out of that operation. Amen. Now, Genesis chapter 2, the kingdom of God. See, he says, no, it's not low here or low there. It's not outside first. Got to get out from looking out here for the kingdom of God to operate. I'm telling you, if you're going to come to church here, we're going to learn to get out from looking for God out here. One day he's coming. He'll never arrive that way. Never. 10 years from now, you'll be one day he's coming. Hey, I know ministers that have been walking with God 40, 50 years. Pray all the time. One day. They don't say one day, but I ask them, where did they say? It's coming. It's going to arrive sometime, I think. Your better answer, it has arrived. It is in me. You got to get impregnated with the Holy Ghost. You got to let him divinely seed the soil of your garden so you may hold that living word in you. In you. Amen. We're just not taught to do that, but we are now. Amen. Genesis chapter 2. Now, I want you to look at this chapter in the light of us. I want you to look at the earth as you. I want you to show you a few things. Look at verse 6 in Genesis chapter 2. It said, there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Now, how would that apply to you? It shall be in you a well of water springing up, watering. See, the well of water is released. And I just now tapped that well 3 days ago, and it is consistent. It flows. It's always there. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And see, that well of water flows and fills you up. See, you got to be saturated from within. See, now notice where all this is happening, from within, from within the earth. It comes up. See, that's where you got to learn to operate, from within. I know that's a foreign concept. You can go to church 20 years, but you got to get inside. You got to get in where the kingdom of God is inside. If it's a kingdom, you're a citizen. If you're a citizen, you got access. You got access, you get in there. If you don't practice operating from within, guess what? Ready for this? If you don't practice operating from within, this is deep call of the deep, you will operate without. You're going to be out here because you haven't learned to move in here. This is the greatest journey God's going to ever have you make, is the journey into your own heart. Could you imagine God? He put the whole kingdom within. He goes, the only thing we want them to do is move within themselves. Move, not in you, in the kingdom within you. It's a big difference. Your biggest journey is learning to move inside to where all this stuff works. Like Crevel said, he goes, you want it, you're going to have to grow it from within. You're going to have to understand, because that's where God works. He plants within. The sower sows the word inside you. This is where you operate first. It doesn't come low here or low there. Behold, it's within you. You got to get in there. If you don't, you're going to be out here. This is the biggest thing of getting someone from out here, outside, looking out here. Because then you're always subject to chance when you're out here. You're subject to chance. You're subject to maybe something's coming. Hope something's coming. Give me some evidence something's coming. Somebody was asking me something about an investment the other day, and they wanted me to give them some information about it, and I ended up sending them the word. I gave them the word. I said, what about this? Because I was testing. And he goes, yeah, that's great, but what about, he wanted the natural. I said, look what it said. Look at this verse. He goes, yeah, that's great. But see, he's so trained. I want something from the outside. And I'm sitting there, this is it right here. This is more important than any kind of evidence you're going to get from the outside. We got to learn to see it that way. There came a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Father, let that fountain within, it'll be in me a well, spring of water springing up, watering all of my garden, watering my garden. He even washes my body with pure water, washes me in the water of the word, that I be without spot or wrinkle, filling my spirit with living water all the time. Oh, it's a wellspring all the time. I can actually be happy. Hallelujah. Now watch this. Now look at verse 8. The Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put man whom he formed. Now here's pretty amazing. In the beginning, God plants a garden and puts man in it. In the restoration, God restores the garden within man. Builds a garden, puts man in it in the beginning. In the restoration, he puts the garden inside of man. First, he gets the man born again and puts the garden inside. You've got to understand something. When you were born again, that garden was placed here inside you. That's the garden of the Lord now. That's where the tree of life is. That's where everything operates. Wouldn't it be amazing that your whole life, if you never get into this realm because you don't take time to practice, you never know what all was there. It took me 20-something years to get in there because I just didn't have anybody hammering me like I hammer you. They didn't teach me. I didn't know. I was taught to pray. I was taught to worship. I could pray in tongues. I was taught to fast, taught to confess, moved a few mountains confessing. But I was never taught to operate in the kingdom within. Never understood it, knew how, foreign concept. In fact, even when I was ascending into the right hand of God, God said, you're going to have to learn to go within. And that was so foreign to me. I said, God, I don't know. That is weird to me. I said, it's weird to go inside because I kept thinking, how do I go inside myself? And he gave me that series, The Living Water, and that broke us in, man. That living water just, and it became natural, what was very unnatural for me. And I understand the veil of feeling that unnatural thing of how to go in. And what happens, we're a creature like a cow at a new gate. We see a new gate and say, I don't think so today. Because if it's uncomfortable, it's not God. But the way God is, he works by faith. See, you have to use faith just to get into the realm of the heart where faith is exercised. How could Creflo Dollar say, if you want something from God, you got to grow it from within, unless he understood how to do that. He understood how to get in his garden. The reason why he's got a huge church, and, you know, when he writes checks to people, it's usually a seven-figure check. That's how he writes checks to people. Even people don't like him. But you got to grow it. You want something, you got to grow it. How can you do that if you don't know how to move into that realm? You know, the reason why we're maybe not getting the results we want is we haven't moved where God wants us to be. We've done a lot of other things. Amen? We've put a lot of time into the kingdom. We've served a lot. We put a lot of prayer. Man, I have prayed till blue in the face. Now I'm praying effectively because I'm moving into the dimensions of the kingdom. And so you exercise your faith to move. If it's uncomfortable, what I would suggest you to do is get this series I'm doing right now, Unlocking the Inheritance of the Kingdom Within, over and 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 over again. And I promise you, if you keep listening, the Holy Ghost is going to light you up. And what will happen, that faith will come up and you'll say, I can do this. As soon as that faith comes, you'll move in. Now, once you move in, you understand how it starts to work because God plants in the garden. Let's look at the original mandate of man because he hasn't changed it. He restored it. All right. Verse 15. And the Lord took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Isn't that amazing? What did he say in Solomon's wisdom? Keep thy heart. What was their original mandate? Dress the garden, keep the garden, because this is where it's all going to flow from, this garden. So man was an original gardener, agriculture gardener, planter, farmer, grower. Here's your responsibility. Dress it and keep it. Now, that word keep it means to guard it. Why would he ask him to guard a garden when there was nothing but life around? Because there was a devil. And he had access into that garden. Did he not have access into the garden? Whose garden was it? God's garden? Full of life? Had the tree of life? Tree of knowledge of good and evil in it. Both of them were in that garden. In man's responsibility into heaven, keep him out. Guard it because he's coming. Notice what the devil could not do. He couldn't, kick him out of the garden. No more than he can kick the garden out of you. He can't take your garden. All he can do is draw you out of the garden into his system. When the devil came, you notice he didn't come in there by force because he didn't have the authority to come in there by force. He only makes you think he's got the force. He didn't come in and say, hey, this is my garden, yank. He didn't do that. He walked up into that garden and he had to come in to deceive. What was man's responsibility? Keep this garden. Everything I'm going to do. The river of God's going to come out of this garden. If you read four or five verses earlier, four rivers come up. One river came up and split into four rivers. See, the river of life come out of the garden. Man, keep the garden, guard the garden, because I'm going to build from the garden. In the beginning, God was building everything out of that garden. In the beginning, God's going to build everything out of your garden. Now, what's your responsibility? Keep him out. What you don't understand with all the circumstances and all the trials and all the pressures, the warfare that exerted against you, you feel it in your mind, you feel it in your body, but what he's after is your garden. He's after this place. He wants to remove you from operating there. He wants to get you out. Listen, I prayed for a long, 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 long time and never had real results because I was operating in the wrong place. Look, you can be a monk and sleep 4 hours a day and pray for 20 hours and never see heaven. Do you understand that? It's not how much you pray. It's how effective you pray. It's what you know. It's where you are when you pray. Man, I do more in that interior garden now than I do anywhere. God has trained me through a whole lot of pain. I know where to operate. I know where to look. I know where I'm growing, and I know what we're about to see. This thing just didn't show up. This victory I've got inside me, I've been talking to you all day about, that just didn't show up on accident. You don't understand. Things like that just don't show up. That was a result of the mining going on in the inside. It broke something off of the well that's already there, and the well's feeding now, and it feels pretty darn good. Amen? And so man's an original garden, but here comes the devil. Doesn't come in and drive him out. He doesn't have that authority. He says, listen, God gave him a choice. He's always going to give you a choice. Now, you have to understand, in God's garden, he planted that inside you. But within you, there's a tree of life, and within you, there is a tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life exists in the kingdom of God within you. I know I'm heavy, but I like being heavy, because I'm going to teach you something how to operate. If you can swallow it, I'm going to teach you. She just had a word. You got to eat this. The tree of life was restored on the inside. That's where God abides. He abides. The kingdom of God is within you. Tree of knowledge of good and evil is right up here. Up in your head, to the unrenewed part of your mind, you can eat from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. And that's the devil system out here. The tree of knowledge, good and evil. That's why every time you're trying to go down here, he's trying to pull you back up, because he wants this part of you, your mind, operating under the tree of knowledge, good and evil. He'll give you enough, because it's good and evil. He'll put enough good in there, but the evil part of it's going to destroy you. You can't birth from this place here, but you birth in here. That's where the life is. See, man, when I go to prayer for the last 3 days, it is so glorious now, because I've learned how to move into the heart, and that's where it all works now. It took time to get in it. You got to work at some of this. They asked Jesus, what must we do to work the works of God? You know he chose his words carefully. Notice what he said. He goes, this is the work of God. I'll tell you, believe. Learn how to believe. Well, believing's from the heart. Man, believe it from thy heart. He said, you not doubt in your heart. So there, obviously there's going to have to be some mining going on inside you. You got to be removing some doubt. You don't sit there and cast doubt down. We've been through that. I cast you down, I cast you down, I cast you down, I cast you down, I cast you down. You know what you're doing? Every time a thought comes here, I cast it down, I cast it down, I cast it down. You're working too hard at it. This is not where it's going to birth. Quit operating up here. Ignore this stuff up here. If you move down in here, you won't be doing a lot of that. The way doubt is removed from the heart is you hold the living word there. You keep it. You acknowledge it. We teach you actually hold the word. How do you hold the word? You give your focus. The communication of your faith becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing in you. I hold that word in there. When I hold it, guess what? The word has the life. The word has the power. The word has the faith. And guess what? It has the power, if I hold it, to drive the doubt out. I don't have to drive the doubt out. The word will drive the doubt out. But I've got to hold the living word there long enough for the life to build inside. See, when the life builds, the light builds. When the light builds, guess what? Doubt starts being driven out. You're not driving it out. Faith in the word is driving it out. But you're sitting there from your flesh. I cast it down, I cast it down, I cast it down. Man, you're operating from the wrong place. Just hold it in there. Meditate. You got to move into the veil of the heart. You're an original gardener, and keep the devil out. You got to keep him out. What was his objective? What did he want to do? All he wanted to do is move man to get them to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's all he wanted to do. He didn't even come in as a ferocious warrior. He came in as a snake and a liar and a deceiver. And all he had to do is deceive. So all you had to do is move out of the garden. I just need you to eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Yes, has God said, just to get you out. See, what's he trying to do now is the garden's in, get you up into the realm of the mind, will, and emotions, and then start eating from his system without. Listen, he is the God of the world system. His system is all around you. You will not ever win consistent victory by eating from his system out here. That cannot be your eternal source of feeding. If it is your source, he will feed you with a whole boatload of depression. He'll feed you with discouragement. He'll feed you with evidence that never lines up with the Word of God. He's got a whole lot of stuff out there. And not just bad stuff. He has good stuff. If he can offer you something good to keep you away from God's best, he will do it. We've seen him do it. He prefers to keep you beat up and all that. But if you win those victories, he'll come and offer you something real good. Come, just eat. He did it with Jesus. He couldn't beat him. And he offered him the bread of affliction. Offered him, and he said, all right. Took him to a seeing high mountain. Showed him the glory of the kingdoms and the wealth of the kingdom. And said, I'll give them all to you. Just bow down. Jesus said, get behind me. I'm coming to restore all this. Think I'm going to eat from you? So he wants to move us up out of the heart. God's trying to move us from here down. You see where the war is? That's why you're going to have to learn to operate in the realm of the heart. How do I do that? Practice. Okay, I'm going to give you a couple minutes, and I got one more scripture. Close your eyes. Put your hand on your heart, your belly. This is how you do it. You asked, I'm telling you. So I didn't ask. Yes, you did. I heard you. About 10 of you in the spirit. The communication of your faith becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you. What did he say? In you. You have to learn to acknowledge what's in you. Holy Ghost, you're in me. You've come to abide. How do you acknowledge? You've got to set your focus into your heart. You acknowledge by focus. You acknowledge by your attention. You give attention inside. Some of your minds are wandering right now into yesterday or to tomorrow. You see how that? Now look at me right now. What happened when you do this? Your mind's not trained to focus. You do going to have focus to come in here. Your mind's out there. You got to focus. The acknowledgement is meaning I focus. I acknowledge on Chuck. I'm focused on. I acknowledge here. Then you practice. You're going to learn to move into that dimension. Okay. You practice, 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 practice. I acknowledge the Holy Spirit within. I know when I started learning to do this, then I started moving into the veil. And that's where I begin to acknowledge his word. And that's when the word coming alive. What am I doing? I'm walking into the garden that God has restored. Amen. I am a keeper of the garden. Let me show you the big problem, and I'll close with this. This is huge. Go to Proverbs chapter 24. If you acknowledge, see, I acknowledge every good thing. Isn't that amazing how the kingdom of God tells you to acknowledge? I acknowledge how? Two things, focus and my words. Acknowledge every good thing that's in you. We are a peculiar people. God is actually telling you to focus into the kingdom of God within you, into the realm of the heart, and acknowledge with your words in your focus. I can't be speaking in here and be out here with my head. You will never move in like that. You've got to train yourself. Once you do, it'll get easier and easier. Listen to me. It will get easier and easier to do if you do it. If you don't do it, you're just going to listen to me talk. But you'll never move into that dimension. You're missing one of the greatest places God has for you. Because if you want something from God, you got to grow it. To grow it, you got to get in there and let him impregnate you. And you got to hold it and meditate it from the heart. Let the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Not the memorization of my head. Notice God never said, let the memorization of my head be acceptable to you, O God. Let the meditation of my heart be acceptable. See that? Everyone say, that's good. This is how faith works. Get out of your head that faith is a instantaneous gratification. Faith grows the kingdom of God. Faith accepts the word of God. Faith understands the operation. Faith receives it and faith keeps it. Faith has a patience to it, but I have patience. What I have found now that I've learned to keep the word, I don't have discouragement anymore while I'm waiting. I am actually being so filled right now with happiness and joy and peace because I've learned how to hold his word. The word's producing joy. The word's producing hope.
May God fill you with all joy and peace in believing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Not the God of hopelessness fill you with all discouragement and fear and bondage and lethargy while you believe. Well, I'm just waiting on God. If I'm going to wait, I better wait with some joy. You cannot wait with joy if you don't have the living word in you. You will be waiting with discouragement. How many of you have ever waited with a discouragement? Not very fun. We wait with joy. Because what? Why? What's he waiting on? The word's growing and growing. What I found out is it's growing. Every time I go in there, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger now because something else got loosed up in there. I'm like, yeah! And it's driving out. I said, Lord, you're driving the doubt out. He goes, that's right. I'm driving the doubt out. He goes, when we're through, he goes, this realm inside will be greater than the one out here. I said, the one out here very talks to me anymore. He goes, that's right, because what's growing inside you is greater. He goes, that's the mystery of my kingdom. You want something, grow it. Grow it. Everyone say, you want something? Grow it. That's what faith is. Faith is not just saying in the name. Faith is growing the kingdom of God through a season. Well, what am I to grow? Just take your number one enemy. Whatever the devil's been fighting you with, the mountain you keep going around over and over and over again, that's probably the one God's called you to move. God did not call you to run around a mountain all your life. He called you to move the mountain. And he's going to leave it there until you rise above it. Haven't you figured that out? It won't leave. It'll be there next year until you decide to move it. Quit asking him to move it and have him get inside, get in there with him, and then you can ask him to move it. But you can't go up here, God, when are you going to move this? He don't answer that stuff. That's not the way he operates. He gave you the authority, but you can get inside and say, Lord, help me move it. Oh, give me thy word. Holy Spirit, share with me the word that's going to move this mountain. What did you say about this mountain? What have you said? And you get in there and you let him impregnate you with that living word. Then you learn to keep it and grow it and you learn to meditate it. And you can't do that if you haven't even learned to move into your heart yet. If you haven't moved into the arena of your heart, because I'll just say it like it is, you're too lazy to even practice. Well, I'm too busy. I'm too busy. Mm-hmm. All right. This is what happens when you get too busy. Ready? Proverbs 24:30. I went by the field of the slothful. The garden of the slothful. The vineyard of the man void of understanding. We had two problems here. We had a slothful and a man void of understanding. You are no longer void of understanding. We are giving you because the Holy Ghost has given us the understanding. And we don't have the understanding. That's a different story. But my God, if you've got this kind of understanding and there are people dying for this kind of understanding and you don't do anything with it. I'm going to leave that alone. Verse 30, I went by the field of the slothful. By the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns. This is the garden of the heart, by the way. That's grown over with thorns. Nettles had covered it. Hey, listen. Every one of you have a house, most of you. Just don't do your lawn and don't do your flower beds for about 3 weeks and see what they look like. You ever went by a house that had beautiful manicured flower beds and you look at it and say, wow. You know, that same person could stop right there, leave that alone for about a month. If it's real good, maybe 2 months, and that thing will grow over and be the ugliest yard in the neighborhood. Why? They stop attending to it. You have a garden, and your number one responsibility is no different than Adam and Eve's. You are called to tend your garden because that's where God's going to grow something out of. And if we don't grow it because of slothfulness or lack of understanding, then it's going to grow over with nettles. And it's going to grow over with thorns. And once you get thorns and nettles up in your garden, it's a very hard time birthing anything from out of there. Could you imagine somebody that has a garden full of nettles and thorns and weeds and bushes and said, oh, look at that harvest coming. God, give me a harvest. Look, man, God's going to say, okay. Or you say, God, give me a harvest out of there. Come on, God, you can do it. How about today in the name of Jesus? Come. God will say, okay, you want something out of your garden? Pluck some grass out of there. Get the nettles, get the thorns, get your gloves out. You're going to have to go to work. Work? Well, I'm not into works. That kind of works you are into, because this is the works of the heart. What must we do to work the works of God? Jesus said, believe. I wish he'd added a couple more sentences. Because believing requires removing of the doubt. It requires the meditation of the heart. It requires hearing the word. It requires understanding the word. It requires receiving the word. It requires keeping the word. That all means to believe, by the way. Everyone say, glory! Glory! Says, lo, it was all grown over with thorns. Man, if I got this out of this, I haven't been out this very long. I can't wait to see what else is coming out of it. And I'm not just in the anointing today. I'm happy all the time now. I got something released in me. 24 hours a day, I got something going on now. I'm genuinely at peace, and I'm kind of a happy person now. I wasn't a very happy person, I'll just tell you right now. I was not a very happy person most of the time. When I was in the anointing, when you'd see me, I'm always happy. But the other side of me, I wasn't that happy. I was just dealing with the devil all the time. Couldn't get him off. I kicked him out of the gardens, what I did. I said, this is my garden. Get out. This is my garden. There's a tree of life in here, and I'm going to eat from it. Guess he got the message. Now we're going to grow something for the kingdom. I can't wait to grow all that God's told us to grow. I can't wait. I can grow it. I know I can. You're going to get some confidence going when you start seeing harvest. You're going to get confidence. When confidence springs up, oh my goodness. When confidence springs up in your life, when you know that you can grow something in the kingdom of God within you and you see the manifestation of it, guess what you're going to do? Give me something bigger. And the devil will become smaller. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns. Sad to say that that's a real problem in the body of Christ right there. Because we've not learned to operate from the heart. It's all grown over. Let me tell you something. Leave it alone and that's what's going to happen. That's why we're in the mess we're in, because our heart looks like this. It's all grown over with thorns. Nettles covered the face thereof. You can't even see the ground anymore. And the stone wall, nettle, here's a definition.
Herbaceous plant that has jagged leaves covered with stinging hairs.
Wow. Herbaceous plant has nettled leaves covered with stinging hairs. You ever had your heart sting? You ever had anybody put a javelin in your heart? You ever had someone stick a knife in your heart? You know why the enemy has them do that? He wants to shut your garden down. If we don't get that stuff out and get healed and get faith working in there, but the word can heal anything, my friends. You hold that word long enough, it'll drive all the pain out. It'll drive all the unbelief out of the garden. It'll drive all the doubt out of the garden. Then it'll start manifesting here in the earth. As a man thinketh in the domain of his heart, so is he. The dominion mechanism. Now, the key is go do it. Go do it. I'm telling you, you're going to start seeing all kinds of breakthrough. Don't let me just have all the breakthrough in the intercessors, because everybody can have this. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But you got to understand how it works. It's not just going to start working. You got to learn how that works. Everyone say, booyah! Says, and then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it. And I received instruction. We need to receive instruction. A little sleep. This is spiritual sleep right now. A little slumber. A little folding of the hands to sleep. And so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Wow. Our circumstance is a product of our heart. And some of you have comfortable circumstances. But use that comfortable circumstance to birth something even greater. Not just sit in the realm of the comfort zone. Let the Holy Ghost, because the people who don't have comfortable circumstances, they have the biggest battle of all. Because they've got nettles and thorns in their hearts and it's all kinds of stuff. And they got to get that thing dug out. But those of you who have dug your heart out and you've got peace up in there, let God bring you something larger than you. And let him deposit it into your heart and say, this is really what I want from you. You're not going to be able to do this in the natural. But I want to grow it inside. But faith will make it happen. He goes, I'm going to cause it to grow and develop and expand within you.
I'm going to teach you how to keep it. I'm going to even give you a pastor that won't let you stop. And I want you to hold it until it builds and drives everything out. See, the Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites and all the other ites, all those are inside you. Because all those mountains are within you. Everyone trying to move mountains out here? You got to get out of that. You don't do it out here yet. Once this realm gets it right, God will release from the veil and he'll move the mountains. Most of the mountains outside, God himself will remove. You're called to move the ones from within. Get that inside and you watch him move the ones without. Amen.